Please listen carefully.
Hello, world, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
6 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now, we are sharing these solutions and our opinions, thoughts, and feelings about these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, quarantine-worthy, it's Monday, let's do this-worthy podcast. Christy, today is Monday, May 18th, 2020. How are you doing?
I am fine, although it's a Monday, which means you've got that Monday schedule. And it always happens to me because Sunday is the one day that I actually disconnect from my computer and take a day off. So getting back into it is always a little bit of a stretch for me, but I feel pretty good today. It was a good break, so I'm happy to be here. Nice to be talking to you, Summers, and the world.
Well, I missed recording with you and Amelia on Friday, but you guys sounded great. I listened to you over the weekend. I spent my Friday really digging deep and focusing on the Optimist Daily business model and some of our different channels of distribution and ways that we're getting stories and content out to people. So it was a super productive day, but like you, I was completely incapable of actually taking a day off, which has me feeling equally like Mondayed. And we had a little check-in before we started recording, and a little behind the curtain, I had to just have like a explosion of grumpy and kind of what did we call it? Like raging. So I raged for a minute about just really kind of being frustrated at feeling hamstrung with all this quarantine situation. But I think getting it out was a good thing, and I feel better, and I'm ready to move on to solutions.
I'm glad you got it out, Summers. And I, as you know, I'm a big proponent of being productive with your anger and actually allowing it to exist and then use it in a productive way and not get stuck in it. So I was very, very supportive of you raging. And I do it myself sometimes. And it's great.
Thank you for letting me rage on Monday morning with my first cup of coffee.
All right, well, let's get into today's top solutions. And we're going to do something a little bit different this time. And I think we're going to change the format just a little bit. Not so much reading stories, but maybe just bringing out some of the highlights and then talking about why we love them. Or not. We could also, I guess, rage against them, Summers, if we wanted to. For the first solution I wanted to highlight today from the health section on the Optimist Daily, Dutch officials advise single people to find a sex buddy for lockdown. This one is a very, I thought this was a great story. One of our editors brought it to us last week. I ended up highlighting it in the View article I wrote over the weekend about managing self-care and like, how do you manage self-care when everything is falling apart? And connection is really one of those things that are essential for self-care. I just thought this was an interesting story. I definitely wanted to share it today. The lead paragraph.
Yeah. So how does it work? How does this find a sex buddy work?
So I'll just read excerpt from the article. For the whole thing, please go to theoptimistdaily.com and you can read that, the whole article. But social distancing is already hard enough. And if you're not in a relationship, the lack of physical contact with anybody can be very frustrating. In the Netherlands, many singletons have been voicing their frustration at the social distancing rules for single people. One writer in particular, who's a journalist specializing in gender issues, Linda Duits, I don't know how to pronounce her name, but go read it. She argued in an opinion piece that sex is a human right. And the Dutch National Institute for Public Health and Environment actually said, we agree. And they suggested that, you know, people could probably find somebody to have sex with. And maybe this would be a good idea for their emotional and personal health, as long as everybody is healthy and it's consensual. So they have a couple suggestions. They discuss how best to do it together. For example, meet with the same person or have physical or sexual contact. For example, with a cuddle buddy or a sex buddy, provided you are free of illness. Make good arrangements with this person and about how many other people that they are both allowed to see, because the more people you see, the greater the chance of spreading the virus. But it was just interesting that a national minister of health actually put together a guideline discussion about how important it is to have physical contact, including sex. You know, for people who are isolating at home by themselves, how difficult that would be to not even have somebody to give a hug to. I'm having hug withdrawals from not being able to hug my broader friend group or my other family besides the ones I'm actually living with. And I feel grateful that I have people to actually hug who I'm living with. But I do have single friends, you know, who are on the dating circuit up until now, and they are really, really longing for that kind of contact. And how do you do that? Well, how do you manage dating?
I think, Christy, there's a couple opportunities. I have a couple thoughts in response. One, trying to find the right partner or the person. Is it like somebody you've always kind of had a crush on and you're like, hey, are you stuck home too? Or is there an app for this? Like, I think figuring out the mechanics, and this is just the nerd in me that's like, all right, what are the mechanics? Like, how do we make this work? How do we ascertain who our sex buddy is? And then that's our safe sex buddy for the remainder of quarantine. And really, to your point, not just for the remainder of quarantine, but for like dating afterward. I have so many good friends who have no idea how they're going to approach dating after quarantine and isolation go away. I mean, what are the requirements to make sure, you know, and how are you vetting people and their health? And you had some thoughts on this.
Well, I mean, whatever works for the individuals. I mean, it could be just somebody that you don't, maybe you set up a situation where you don't even have a sexual relationship, but you have a cuddle relationship. I mean, physical contact is one of the basic human needs. They've done studies with all primates. And if we don't get physical touch, it really impacts our immune systems in a negative way. So having physical contact is very important, right? One of the things that's interesting about this is it's making you have to really think about who do you want to spend your time with and who are you going to break quarantine to get cozy with, right?
Right.
So I think it's an interesting thing in the dating world where people have kind of been like, oh yeah, Tinder, let's just meet, hook up, whatever. It's not a big deal.
Right. Like Netflix, you're having to.
Yeah. You have to really vet those people. You have to get to know them a little bit. And that's maybe not a bad thing, even going out of, you know, coming out of this, you know, you have to actually form close relationship on an emotional level before you want to say, hey, yeah, let's go, you know, let's go cuddle or more, right?
Exactly. Or more. Well, my one other comment, and on the verge of TMI, but I would like a solution for married people who are stuck home in small circumstances with all of their kids. And I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say there are a lot of married people not having sex as well. And yeah, maybe that's part of the rage issue I've got going on.
All right, Summers. Well, I hope that this is an interesting solution to people. I hope that they go to the website and read the whole thing. One of the things that I find refreshing about it as well is just treating sex like it is a normal part of life and not something we shouldn't be talking about.
Absolutely. And join the discussion on OptimistDaily.com's Facebook page, where we will certainly be sharing this story. And we want to hear your thoughts, and we want to know how your sex buddies are working for you.
whether you're using them or not, right?
Exactly. So another story, Christy, that popped up for me that I really found interesting today was that restaurants are really having to re-envision what the restaurant experience looks like in a post-pandemic dining era. A article on the Optimist Daily today talks about various parts of the world easing coronavirus lockdowns and the restaurants that are finding creative ways to ensure patrons feel safe eating out during the coronavirus. All sorts of creative things between, you know, managing social distancing between customers and staff, from little itty bitty mini greenhouses. There was one, I saw it in Amsterdam, but I also saw one in New York where each table was a little two-person greenhouse, which was really lovely. And it's raining here in my area today, and I was just thinking about how quaint it would be to be eating in a lovely little greenhouse. I would certainly pay for that experience. And then there's also restaurants that are putting up big acrylic sheets in between booths. They're looking at ways of having greater, wider patio outdoor seating.
I think they're calling those partitions the sneeze fences.
Yeah.
Instead of the sneeze guard, like a salad bar, you have a sneeze fence between your tables.
Well, and it's the sneeze fence between groups, and then it's also like the sneeze fence to protect the servers, right? So they reach around these sneeze fences, but they try to stay as far away. And certainly we know when you're eating and you're talking and you're having drinks, like that's where voices get loud and energetic. And we know that when people talk loud, that's when germs spread. So they're like sneeze fences, but I would also call them like enthusiastic drunk fences. Like maybe two bottle of wine fences. Whether there's a chef using a basket, hanging a rope connected to the kitchen to send meals so that there's no server requirements. I just think it's really kind of fun and creative. And we know that folks in the culinary world and restaurateurs are often artists themselves, right? There are a lot of very creative people in that world. I'm kind of optimistic for what dining will look like, right? Like we're going to have some new experiences and I can't wait to go out to dinner.
Yeah, I think the lead image in this, which people should go look at, is using mannequins dressed in 1940s gear. And I think people have been hearing about this. I heard about another one where there's putting stuffed pandas at the tables that aren't being used.
Oh, to keep fill people. All the seats. Exactly. Yeah,
to fill the seats. It reminds me, like, the Korean baseball is open, but they have mannequins in the stands or robots clapping. Again, this goes to our need for seeing other people around us, our need to feeling like we're out in the world among other human beings, or even if they're not really human beings, right? This is going to be very interesting. We're going to have to see how these clever solutions for social distancing actually motivate people or make them feel comfortable enough to eat out. It's an amusing thing to watch it.
Speaking of eating out, you and Rick had a dining experience on Friday, right? I heard you and Amelia talking about that. How did that go? Tell us about it.
It was really fantastic. So it was my husband Rick's, it was his birthday on Friday. And so some friends of ours had us over for dinner. They set up a table for two with a tablecloth and an electric candle in the parking lot, in the driveway of the house. And then they set up a whole bunch of chairs sort of around us so that we can all have dinner together with, you know, enough social distancing. They were just sitting in chairs because they had eaten a little before we got there. And it was great because we actually got to have a conversation. But a little bit, I felt like we were the dinner theater. So people were watching us eat, or maybe a little bit like being in the zoo, you know, because everybody else was just sitting there while we were eating our dinner. And then we were talking. But it was really, really fantastic to have that. What's kind of a, they made it was a turkey burgers with teriyaki seasoning and fried, or not fried actually, but baked sweet potato fries and some snap peas in a teriyaki sauce. It was really, really fantastic and delicious. And it was just so nice to be able to share that with our friends, and it made it kind of festive for us. Absolutely. So yeah.
Well, happy birthday, Rick. A couple days late, but you know, Christy, we've got so many other great stories on OptimistDaily.com today, as we do every day. Is there any other story we want to bring up, or do we want to just share some headlines and get people to head on over?
At this point, we're getting towards the end of our time to talk, and we don't want to drone on and on and on. There's one that was fun about the startup showing why drones hold the key to mass reforestation in the environment section. I don't want to go into that. I think we've talked about them a little bit in the past. This is Flash Forest. It's a Canadian startup where they're using a technology using drones, firing seed pods into the ground to restart forest growth in areas in Canada. And that's really interesting. It's like getting that billion trees into the ground. We'll see how that goes. Go read the story on the Optimist Daily.
So there's also an Adopt the Grandparent initiative, which is helping elderly Bolivians cope with hardship. I think all over the world, we're seeing elderly folks who are needing service connection and love. And the Adopt a Grandparent campaign is really a global solution. Read about that one. We dive a little bit into why we're both excited and maybe anxious about reopening. Christy, I know that I am excited, as I said, to go out to dinner, but unendingly anxious at the idea of allowing my children to return to school or to communal environments. So it is that double-edged sword that people are wrestling with. Oh, this one's great. You know what? You take the Toronto Museum offering a drive-in Van Gogh exhibit.
Yeah, I love this one, and you got to look at how it feels. Just to feel like you're actually inside of a Van Gogh painting, you can actually drive through this exhibit. It's sort of like mixing social distancing and art, which is, art is one of those things that really is essential for being connected to humanity and to ourselves. So I love this one too.
Yeah. And the last story I'll bring up kind of comes back. As many of you know, Christy and I did our vision boards at the beginning of the year. And on my vision board, in addition to the workplace of the future, which I didn't mean, this, but I got it, is a plastic-free lifestyle. And plastic is just something that we continue to need as a society because of the way that our society is structured, but there are better solutions. And the article about major brands soon selling their bottle products in compostable packaging is really exciting. We know that globally, there's 300 million tons of plastic made from fossil fuels every single year. And there's a new technology and a new tool that's getting the support of beer maker Carlsberg and Coca-Cola and Danone to hopefully move away from non-compostable plastic. So this and so many more great solutions available on OptimistDaily.com. Every day you've got the headlines. Every minute you've got all of the articles on our social, on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter, although nobody listens to us on Twitter because we're positive, but whatever. And anyway, please just join the conversation.
And the great thing about that plastic, it is still plastic, but it's made out of biologically or sustainable materials, and it breaks down after a number of months instead of after 400 years, which is a big difference.
I was thinking about plastic dog bags, right, to pick up dog poop. And my dad is super cute. Whenever he walks our dog, he goes to the little community box and tears out like a dozen bags and ties them to Cleo's leash. And it's really, really cute because he's trying to be helpful. But I'm like, Dad, we have the biodegradable plastic ones in the house. And so I don't need the ones from the community. And he's like, well, then you don't have to buy them. But then your granddaughter's kids don't have to have them in their landfill. So I think my new mission is to get biodegradable plastic dog bags in all of the community.
That's
plastics.
A great one. They have biodegradable ones on the bike paths here around Santa Barbara, which I really appreciate the community I live in for that.
Ooh, okay. It's happening in my community. I'm calling someone. I don't know who. Okay. I'm calling. And then I'm going to rage. It's going to be a thing.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Summers, for talking today. And thank you, everybody, for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. As always, we promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in the changing world and ensure it's changed for the good. And we promise to cover current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart a new path for all of us.
Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com, subscribing to our newsletter, and for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. Thanks, everybody. Have a great Monday.